I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It is time for another edition of the award-winning history program, Saving Stories, with Dr. Doug Boyd from the Louis B. Nunn Center for Oral History in the UK Libraries. It's a segment where we feature audio from the collection. Good day to you, Doug.
It's good to be here.
Kentucky Public Broadcasting lost a giant in our industry just recently, and of course I'm talking about the late Len Press, the founder and first president of Kentucky Educational Television.
In 1998-1999, oral historian Terry Birdwistle interviewed Len Press in a series of 13 interviews that document the story of KET in an incredibly detailed way. After returning from World War II, Press got his master's degree in communications from Boston University, where he began working with television. And in 1952, the University of Kentucky hired Len Press, really to be a catalyst for broadcasting initiatives on campus.
It's important to point out, too, the University of Kentucky in the 1930s had set up multiple listening centers throughout eastern Kentucky. They had done that with the under the auspices of WHAS Radio in Louisville. So there was that cohesion that was already going on.
And in December of 1952, WHAS sent Len Press down to Knott County, Kentucky, where he was to record a program called Christmas in the Mountains. And essentially, this was folk songs, interviews talking about the folk songs that were being performed. And it was really that moment where he met a woman named Alice Sloan. And Alice Sloan was the founder and director of the Lotts Creek Community School in Cordia, Kentucky. In fact, it was that initial meeting with Alice Sloan that really sparked his vision for a statewide educational television network.
I got a very good indoctrination into the education problems they had, into the school and how the kids came over the mountains. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a lot.
So that was...
And then I went back. I mean, I fell in love with Alice and with Edna and with the other people I met there. And Lil and I went there regularly several times year for years. For years, we became very, very close friends.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
And we stayed there with Alice in her house many times. Mm-hmm. I got to understand, to know really intimately what they were up against in trying to get teachers and their problems with the school system, with the problems with the state, trying to get funding, the whole business. Mm-hmm. It was very, very tough. You know, that didn't start the thinking about ETV and the network, but when that, but all of that kind of happened at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to me, you know, to be every reason in the world to be able to get into Eastern Kentucky with educational television.
You really get a sense for how much negotiating, how much advocacy that Len Press was doing around the state. He was talking to politicians. He was talking to school groups. He would give talks at the Rotary Clubs, really taking this vision for educational television and over a decade making it happen.
I decided that, there are a lot of people in life who are quarterbacks, and I realized that if there's an image, that's the image I have of my perception of what happened and what I did. There are more quarterbacks, however, than there are holes in the line. And if you see a hole and you're a decent quarterback, you go through. It's a kind of a compulsive need to run through. Now, sometimes there are holes nobody should try to run through, and of course, a lot of people don't. And sometimes somebody like me does and makes a fool of himself. So all of this is a pattern. If I succeeded, where I succeeded that others may not have, is not, I guess not everybody is that is compelled that way. Mm-hmm. And the holes I picked were really open. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to take credit, which I don't, but everybody seems intent on my getting it anyway, it's not for having initiated ETV in Kentucky, but having done the network as it's done. That would have happened differently. It simply would have. But it would have happened. There was a station in Louisville. There would have been a station in Lexington. But there would never have been. Oh, there might have been sometime. But but coverage of all of Kentucky by a Kentucky system was not likely given the rural nature of the state.
So he comes to Eastern Kentucky in 1952, and it isn't until 1962 that we get the funding mechanism in place for something like KET, and then, of course, they sign on in 1968, I believe it was.
And when you really dive into these interviews, you really get the sense that they were grappling with issues pertaining to radio and television in the classroom that are so similar to the very same issues we're grappling with today with online education, distance learning.
Doug Boyd from the Louis B. Nunn Center for Oral History in the UK Libraries has been our guest again on Saving Stories. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.